Title: Bass Modulation Scenes with Live 12 Stock Packs Advanced. All right, let's build a drum and bass bassline that behaves like a performance across the arrangement, without rewriting the MIDI every 8 bars. The core idea for this lesson is simple: your bass has chapters, and instead of changing patches or drawing a million automation lanes, you're going to build modulation scenes inside an instrument rack, then recall and morph between those scenes with a small set of macros. Ableton Live 12 stock devices only, stock packs friendly, and we're staying in that rolling, techie, neuro-adjacent zone where the bass is animated, but it still grooves. Before we touch any devices, set your project to 174 BPM. Get a basic drum loop running. Nothing fancy is required, but you need kick, snare, and hats so you can judge what the bass is really doing. Bass design without drums is how you accidentally design a bass that fights the groove. Now create two MIDI tracks. Name them Bass, Sub and Bass, Mid. Select them both and group them into a group track called Bass Bus. This is a big discipline move. The sub stays consistent and mix safe, and all the scene drama lives in the mid layer. Let's build the sub first. On bass, sub, drop an operator. Oscillator A is a sine wave. Keep the level conservative around minus 12 dB for now. And unless your line really needs slides, keep glide off. For most rolling D&B, clean note starts are your friend. After operator, add saturator. Drive somewhere between 2 and 6 dB. Soft clip on. You're not trying to distort the sub into a mid-range sound. You're adding a little density, so it translates on systems that don't reproduce deep lows perfectly. Then add EQ8. Low pass around 120 to 160 Hz with a gentle slope. If you've got a specific boom, maybe around 40 to 60 Hz. You can do a tiny notch, but only if you truly hear a problem. Don't carve holes out of your fundamental just because you saw a bump. Finally, add utility. Set widths to 0%. This is non-negotiable most of the time. Sub in mono. Then set the gain so it's consistent and feels like a foundation. Here's the rule you're living by. The sub is not supposed to be a character. It's supposed to be gravity. Now the fun part. The mid layer, the scene machine. On bass, mid, create an instrument rack and name it MID Scenes. You can use Waveitable or Operator as the source synth. I'll suggest a direction, and you can pick your poison. If you want classic, fast results, use Waveitable. Ask 1 on basic shapes, move it toward a sawish position. Ask 2 is optional. You can detune it slightly for Reese weight, but don't go wide and smeary yet. Unison 2 to 4 voices, low amount. If you want a more neuroish growl foundation, use Operator with a subtle FM relationship. Ask a saw or square. Ask B sign as a modulator, and bring up B level until you hear some throatiness. Keep it subtle. The processing chain will do most of the talking. Now, important architecture. Put your core processing after the rack, so it affects all scenes consistently. The scenes will be created by macro mapping, modulators, and effect amounts, not by changing the whole channel's identity every time. After mid scenes, add auto filter. Choose LP24. Add a bit of drive, like 3 to 8%. If you want note dynamics, a small envelope amount is nice, but keep it controlled. D&B bass wants consistency. Next, add roar if you have Live 12. If not, use saturator or overdrive. But roar is amazing as a scene driver, because you can automate mix and tone and get big perception changes without totally changing the patch. Pick a musical mode, not maximum chaos, and trim the output. Seriously. Gain staging is what makes these scene flips feel professional instead of jump scare loud. Then EQ8. High pass around 90 to 120 Hz. This is how you protect the sub from mid distortion regrowth. If it's boxy, consider a gentle dip around 250 to 400 Hz. Then utility for general stereo control. Set width somewhere like 80 to 140% for now, and we'll map it later. The sub is mono on its own track, so the mid can breathe, but you still need to keep it mono safe. At this point, you should already hear the concept. Sub holds the club together, mid is free to get abused. Now we build the macro system, and this is where the scenes concept becomes real. Go into the MID Scenes rack and set up your macros. Rename Macro 1 to Scene, Macro 2 to Motion, Macro 3 to Byte, Macro 4 to AIR, Macro 5 to Width. Leave a couple unused for later, because you will want them once you get addicted to this workflow. And here's the big advanced move. You're going to treat scene like a snapshot crossfader, not a knob you constantly wiggle. Most of the time, scene moves in deliberate gestures on phrase boundaries. If you want continuous movement, that's motion job. This one decision will keep your automation lanes clean and your arrangement readable. Now add LIV-12 modulators inside the rack. Add an LFO modulator. Start with a sine or saw down shape. Set it to sync. Keep amount modest. We're going to scale that LFO's influence with the motion macro, so you can go from barely alive to rolling machine without changing the rate constantly. Add shaper as well. Shaper is where you can get that roller pulse feel. Set it to sync. Draw one bar shape with 16th note pulses. Think of it as rhythmic energy, not random chaos. You're making movement generators that you can turn up and down per scene. Now let's define actual scenes. We're going to create 4 or 5 scene zones across the scene macro range, like a chapter selector. The key is that not every parameter should move across the entire scene range. You want overlapping zones, dead zones, and areas where the macro does almost nothing. That makes it playable and automatable. Here's a reliable zone map. From 0 to 30 is your tight roller. 30 to 65 is your talking mid. 65 to 95 is your heavy reese or growl. 95 to 110 is hollow breakdown space. 110 to 127 is your fill and glitch zone. Let's program scene 1. Tight roller. This is your verse or rolling drop bass. Map auto filter cutoff, so scene low values keep it in a lower mid range, something like 200 up to 800 HC. Map the LFO rate to something like 1/8 or 1/16, but don't make scene do too much rate changing. Rate changes read as new pattern, and that can distract. Instead, let motion increase the LFO amount to the cutoff. Map roar or saturator drive low to medium here. Map width to a medium value, not huge. Then set the macro behavior so scene at 0 to 30 feels tight. Lower cutoff, lower drive, subtle movement, and motion increases LFO depth and maybe opens the cutoff a touch so it feels like the same sound, just more energized. Scene 2, talking mid. For this, add corpus or resonators in the chain. A good placement is after auto filter but before heavy distortion, because resonant peaks into distortion give that vowel-like exaggeration. In corpus, try tube or beam. Tune somewhere around 150 to 400 HC. Keep decay short to medium. Dry slash wet around 10 to 35%. Now map scene in the 30 to 65 zone to bring up corpus dry slash wet. Increase auto filter resonance carefully and slightly open the cutoff. Add a tiny LFO amount to corpus tune. Tiny. Like, almost is it doing anything? Tiny. Because once distortion is on, that becomes speech. Teacher note. If it gets harsh, it will probably spike somewhere around 2 to 4 kHz. Don't fight it emotionally. Just put in a Q8 after distortion later and plan to tame that node. Talking bass is awesome, but it's also a fast route to ear fatigue if you let the resonances run wild. Scene 3. Heavy reese or growl. This is the main drop impact. Add amp and cabinet if you want extra character, or just push roar harder. If you use amp and cabinet, remember, your lows are already handled by the sub, so you're shaping mids, not rebuilding low end. Map scene in the 65 to 95 zone to increase drive, maybe pull the filter cutoff slightly down so the energy focuses and feels heavier, and slightly reduce width. This is a big one. Heavier scenes often feel punchier when they're a little narrower. Too wide can sound impressive solo, then disappear when summed to mono or when the drums get busy. And here's an advanced trick. Map bite not only to distortion drive, but also to a slight dip on an EQ band around your harsh frequency, like 2.5K or 3.2K. That way, when you push bite, you're also automatically preventing the ice pick effect. This is how you get aggressive without needing to turn down the whole track later. Scene 4. Hollow breakdown or space. Add hybrid reverb on the mid only, or better yet, put reverb on a return and send to it, but we'll keep it direct for now. Make it short to medium, darker, and filter the lows aggressively. Map scene in the 95 to 110 zone so distortion drive reduces, auto filter cutoff lowers, resonance lowers, and hybrid reverb dry slash wet comes up just a little, like 0 to 20%. You're not trying to wash the bass into a pad. You're trying to create a controlled hollow space that sets up the next impact. Scene 5. Fill or glitch stab. Add grain delay or filter delay, sparingly. Grain delay is great for quick zap moments. Keep spray low. Pitch can be subtle, or do a quick plus or minus 12 for that stabby teleport sound. Dry slash wet should be automated as a burst, not left on. Map scene in the 110 to 127 zone to allow faster LFO rates. Higher shaper amount for quick gating, and small grain delay wet bursts. This is your interrupt zone. Don't live here. You jump here for a half bar or a bar, then snap back. Now let's talk mapping strategy, because this is what separates Cool Rack from actually usable in an arrangement. Open macro mapping and build musical ranges. Scenes should not slam every parameter all the time. Create dead zones and active zones. For example, in scene 0 to 20, maybe almost nothing changes. That makes your roller stable. Then from 20 to 40, you start introducing formants gradually. From 40 to 65, the talking is fully active, and so on. Also, make scene transitions gain neutral early. Switching scenes changes harmonic density, resonance, and stereo width, which the brain reads as louder. Put a utility at the end of the MIDI chain and map its gain subtly across scene. Even plus or minus 2 dB can make your scene switching feel professional and intentional instead of like a volume automation mistake. While you're designing, use monitor macros. For a moment, keep spectrum open and watch what each scene does to the 80 to 120 Hz area, where mud can creep in, the 200 to 400 Hz area for boxiness, and the 1 to 3K Hz area for teeth and harshness. You're not mixing visually, you're checking that your scenes aren't secretly breaking the mix contract. Also decide what's control rate movement and what's edgy movement. LFO and shaper are control rate. If you want metallic bite and colder motion, insert frequency shifter on the mid. Set it to ring mod. Fine offset in a tiny range like 10 to 80 Hz. Map scene to a small dry slash wet range, like 0 to 15%, and a tiny fine movement. That's a stock, underrated way to get neuro sheen without drowning in noise. Now, arrangement automation. This is where the whole concept pays off. Go to arrangement view. Automate scene like big, held steps. Think 8 or 16 bars. Use ramps only when you want an intentional morph, like a bar before a new phrase. Automate motion as ramps. Ramps into drops. Dips during pre-drop tension. Small pushes on call and response moments. Automate bite as accents. Short boosts, not constant max. Give your ears a break. Aggression is more powerful when it's not always on. Automate width with intention. Narrower for impact, wider for breakdowns and atmosphere. And here's a classic trick. One bar before the drop, do an air vacuum. Pull AIR down so it's drier, pull width down so it's more mono-ish, reduce motion so it tightens. Then on the downbeat, restore. It feels huge without you having to make it louder. A practical 32-bar template could go like this. This audio version is shortened for playback.